Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Aaron Sorsher. Meseches Moed Katan has been dedicated Le'iloi Nishmas, Peril Bas Reb Yehoshua Heschel HaKohen.
Moed Katan Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara brings down a memra of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel Mekabli Ki Boilus Besech HaTchum Aser Chutz L'Tchum Muter. There are two shittas in the Rishonim how to understand what it is that Shmuel is being mechadish. According to Rashi and Rav Rishonim, Shmuel is talking about the din of Shabbos and Yom Tov. The halacha is that you're not allowed to have a goy working for you on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And this is true whether you tell the goy to do the malacha for you or you don't tell him to do it for you. If you tell him to do it for you, it's worse because there's an isser of amira linachri. But even if you didn't tell him to do it for you, suppose you get a goy to come into your house and you're meramis to him that you want something, you want a light turned on in your house. When he does the malacha specifically for you, so it's considered bishlichuscha, and it's usser to be nene from that malacha. Not everybody's aware of this din. It's important to be nizer in this. In fact, if you see the guy is about to do a malacha in your house for the purposes of a Jew, then you're mechuyev to be moicha. Tell him, don't do this malacha. Now, of course, there are heterim in extenuating circumstances to be nene from a goy's malacha, and even in certain cases, to get a goy to do the malacha. And since each case is different, one should ask a rav. But generally speaking, you're not allowed to have a goy doing malacha for you on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And therefore, if a person already has a poel, if he has somebody who is a hired worker, he's paid by the day or by the hour to do work for him. Let's say he has somebody in his house that does household chores. Under normal circumstances, he has to make sure that that worker doesn't do any malacha for him. Now, that's by a regular worker. You can ask then, what about if a person has some clothing, gives it to the cleaners on Friday, and he goes back on Sunday or Monday and he picks up his cleaners? Why doesn't he have to be worried that the guy did malacha for him on Shabbos? The answer is that over there, even if the guy did the malacha on Shabbos, it's mutter. And the reason is because we're talking about a different type of poel. That person is called a kablan. A kablan means somebody who's paid by the job. Not by the day, but he's paid to do a certain job. Since he's being paid to do a certain job, he's not really working for me on Shabbos. He's working for himself. However, he gets the job done, that's how he chooses to get the job done. So that's the difference between a soicher, a schir yoim, and a kablan. Now, Shmuel is being mechadish to us that even though by a kablan there's a heter, there are certain things that even when you give them to a kablan, it's not mutter for him to do your malacha on Shabbos if it is within the tchum Shabbos of the city you live in. Rashi explains that we're talking about things that everybody is aware that this is the malacha of the Yisrael. Meaning, the clothing that I gave into the cleaners, nobody knows that the cleaners is doing my malacha on Shabbos. However, suppose I own a building. Everybody knows that it's my building, and it's within the tchum Shabbos of the city. And I hired a contractor to add a floor onto this building. I didn't tell him, work for me on Shabbos. I told him, here's a job. I'd like for you to get the job done. So he's a kablan. It's still usher for him to do the malacha for me on Shabbos. I have to make a tenai with him beforehand that he can't work on Shabbos. And so generally speaking, this chilik is one between karka and metaltlin. Metaltlin, it's usually not meforsim who the owner is, like in our case with the cleaners, which is the case Rashi brings. And karka, generally speaking, people do know who the owner is. Of course, you could have a case where it's metatlin, but people are aware, and that would also be usser. For example, a Jew who owns a large yacht, which is a case brought down in Shulchan Aruch Simen Resh Mem Dalet. Now, this is all Rashi's understanding in what Shmuel was mechadish. Tosfos, on the other hand, in Dibur HaMaschil Amar Shmuel, brings down the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam argues and holds that there is no isser, even b'soich ha-tchum, for a nachri to be doing my malacha for me on Shabbos, even if it's something which is meforsim, everybody knows that it belongs to me, like karka, it's still mutter. And he brings various riots to that effect. So an explanation of the din of Shmuel says there ben Utam, that when he says mekabli ki boilus besoicha tchum aser, he's referring to an ovel. Since we learned already, and Afir Aleph Mabeis, the Shita of Rav Shisha Breder of Idi, who says, Dvarim Hamutarim B'chol L'Shalmoyed Asurim B'mei Evloi, meaning that they were more machmir in certain areas by Evel than by Shabbos, and they didn't want you to be mezalzel in Evel, and therefore they asered a person having a guy do malacha for him, B'soich HaTchum. Because when a person's in Avil, he's not even allowed to have other people work for him, do his malacha, unless, of course, it's a Davar HaAvid. However, the Rabbeinu Tam himself points out that there's a difficulty with this pshat, and that is that in the Hemshech of the Gemara, we find that Rav Papa and Rav Misharshia both qualify the statement of Shmuel. Rav Papa says that even if it's outside the Tchum, if there's another city near this person's property, then it's also Usser. And then Rav Misharshia says that even when there's no other city near where the guy's working, it's only mutter b'shabbosis uviyamim toivim deloy shchichi in shida azalahosim. Nobody's going to go there from this city all the way to that city because it's outside the Tchum. Where there's no iser tchumin, the shchichi inchi, the azli va'asu ulahasam, aser. So who is talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov? If you say like Rashi, then we understand. Loi amaran elu b'Shabbosis v'Yom Tovim. The whole statement that we made was only by Shabbos v'Yom Tov. But according to the way Rabbeinu Tam is learning, the statement was never made about Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's about Avil. It's about during the week. And the Rabbeinu Tam ends off over here in Tosfos with Vitzarech Iyun. In Tosfos, in Avodah Zarah, daf chaf alf mabeis dibra maschil arisa, he brings the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam and says you could even read our Gemara with the assumption that Shmuel is talking about Avil. Because in regular Avil, even during the week, it's Aser B'Seich HaTchum. Comes along Rav Papa and he says that even Chutz L'Tchum, it's Aser if it's near another city. And then Rav Misharshia comes along and says that this whole heter of Chutz L'Tchum was only said about Shabbos that falls out during the Avelus. Because then people aren't going to be traveling to that place that's outside the Tchum, and they won't realize that the Avel has somebody working for him. Because even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Dvarim Shel Tzina are noyig during the Avelus. And when it says Avel B'Cholo Shel Moed is Aser, it doesn't mean only Chol HaMoed, because even Yom Chol would be Aser. Just that we want to be Mechadish, says Tosfos, that even on Chol HaMoed, where people travel less than in a Yom Chol, it's still Aser, since there's no Iser Tchumen, and people could get there. So that is the Machlokes Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, our sugya is a sugya about a guy doing melacha for you on Shabbos and Yom Tov when he is a kablin. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, a kablin is always allowed to do melacha for you, even b'soich atchum. And our whole sugya is referring to the din of Avelus. The Gemara brings down the story about Marzutcha Breder of Nachman, that he had workers, they were kablonim, they were non-Jewish workers, and they built for him an apadna, which is like a mansion, Chutz L'Tchum. Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinana came there to visit, and they did not go into the building. Of course, according to Rashi, we're talking about a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, and according to the Rabbeinu Tam, this must have happened during the Amei Avelus of Marzutra. So the Gemara asks, V'ha'amar Shmuel mekabli kibodos b'soich ha'tchum aser chutz l'tchum mutter. Why was it that they didn't want to walk into this building? And the Gemara even brings in Ike the Amri that Marzutra himself didn't go into the building. Shmuel already told us that it's mutter as long as it's not in the tchum. The Gemara answers, Adam Choshev Shaini. Now who is the Gemara referring to when it says Adam Choshev Shaini? There are two ways to understand. According to the way Rashi, later on Amud Beis, the Ramaschal Adam, and the way the Meiri explains over here in our sugya, it's mashma that Adam Chashev Shaini is referring to Marzutra. And what the Gemara is saying is that since Marzutra was an Adam Chashev, he was expected to be extra careful, legabe having Goyim working for him, because if people see that Goyim work for him, even if it's in an oifen of heter, but there'll still be makel somewhat. And since Marzutra, as an Adam Chashev, was expected to be more machmir, they didn't want to go into the house, because now the building of the house is considered a violation of the halacha. Since the Adam Chashev has a din to be more machmir, so this is considered like a house that was nivna be'isser. Since it was nivna be'isser, they didn't want to go into such a house. However, the Sfasemis explains that you could learn the Gemara differently. Adam Chashev Shaini means that they, Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinina, did not want to go into the house because they were chashuvim, and even something that was done totally beheter, a person who is chashuv will not go into a house that was built on Shabbos no matter what. And there's obviously a very big nafkamina, because what would be if the person who the house was built for was not an Adam Chashuv, so there's no problem whatsoever with people building for him as long as it's Chutz L'Tchum, will an Adam Chashuv now have a problem going into the house? According to the first pshat that we said, Alpi the Rishonim, he would have no problem going into the house, but according to the second pshat, it wasn't because Marzutra was expected to not have it built. Even if it was built totally beheter, an Adam Chashuv will not go into such a house. So even if it was not an Adam Chashev that it was built for, since it was built on Shabbos, an Adam Chashev will not go in. And the Sfasemis actually claims that his pshat is the way that the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Kuf Mem Gimel understands the Gemara. The Gemara then says a second reason why they didn't want to go into the building, not because Adam Chashev shiny, but rather because Siyue Saye B'Tivna B'Hadayu. Now there are two ways to understand this Teretz of the Gemara as well. The Ritva understands that Marzutra somewhat helped the Avoida, he helped the Malacha that they were doing, and even though the Iker Malacha was done al Yidei, the Nachrim, but since some sort of Siyua was done on the part of Marzutra, it therefore was considered something that should be Aser. And the Lashon of the Ritva is, Uba Avur, Shenasa, by Avoida, since there was Avoida that was done, the Iser was not only the Malacha of the Nachri, Hichmir al Atzma Shleyekanisham. So you see that in Pshat, the way he's learning the Gemara, the Siyua that's being discussed is that Marzutra actively went and helped out somewhat. And then he says that it was only a Chumrah. Hichmer al Atzmei, since he was not the main one, so it wasn't really Aser because the ones that were doing the Malacha were primarily the Goyim. But since he did some sort of Siyua, he helped them out, so he was Machmer on himself. Now Rashi says, Siyue have a Messiah b'tivna, shaya noisin lahem tevin l'melacha. He would just provide them with materials. He would give them the tevin. The hayel v'hu Messiah b'adayu aser. Now this is very strange. The way the Ritva is understanding, he did some sort of action. Like the Ritva says, b'avur shenasa by avoida. There was an avoida that was done by a yid. But why would providing them with tevin make the apadna aser? After all, the yid didn't do any action that's aser. So you could learn that the fact that he did help them by providing them with Tevin was something that he shouldn't have been doing either. The Jew shouldn't be involved on any level in Asiyas Malacha or helping out with Malacha. So the fact that they didn't want to go in was because some sort of Isser was done on part of the Jew. However, there's another way to learn the Gemara. And this could quite possibly be the Pshat and Rashi as well. And this is Mashma somewhat in the Me'iri and Taisa Rosh. And that is that the fact that he helped by providing them with Tevin was not in and of itself the Isser. Rather, the reason why it was Usser to go in was because we already explained that there are two types of workers. One is called a Poyel, the person is my worker, and what he does is considered the Shlichus of the Yisrael. So the work is seen as my work, and when he does the work on my behalf, because I hired him to do that work, he's considered a shliach of me, and therefore it's usher because they, Chazal, when they were misakin the din of Amir al-Nachri, they were misakin the fact that any time a guy does something b'shlichuscha, that malacha becomes usher. The other type of worker, as we explained, if you send your stuff to the cleaners, it's not considered usher. And that's because I do not hire him to do work. I hired him to do a job. Whose work is he doing? He's doing his own work. Because in order to get paid for the final result, for the job, he has to make sure to do the work. So when he chooses to do that work on Shabbos, it's not considered as if he's my shliach to do work when he's getting paid by the day or by the hour. So that's considered my work, which he's doing on my behalf. But when he's getting paid just to complete a certain job, and he has to choose when he does that job, the work is only a hechetimtza, it's a conduit to get to the final result. So it's considered like the Nachri's work. Says the Me'iri, when is it that we look at the work of a Kablin as being his own work? It's not enough that he's only hired to do the job. Rather, it depends who provides the materials. Because if you hire a guy, you tell a painter to come to your house and paint a room, and he shows up with his paintbrush and paint, and he gets the job finished, then we view it as if he's the one who's in charge of the job, and that's why he provides himself with his own materials, and all he's providing you with is the final result. Masha'en Kane, if I'm the one who provides him with all the materials, then even though he's being paid to finish a job, nevertheless, he's seen as my worker. Because if it was his work, then he would be the one to provide the materials. So when the Jew pays for the tevin, it's a simen. That shows that it's really the Jew who needs to be involved in planning the final result. And the guy's job, his role, is only one of doing the work that's necessary in order to get the Jew's job finished. And we can actually prove that this is Shitas Rashi from Rashi's other places in Shas. Because number one, the fact that the difference between a Schir Yom and a Kablin is, as we said, a Schir Yom is a worker of the Balabayas, and a Kablin is his own worker, is a Mefurash Rashi in Bab Metzia Daf Ayin Zayin Amid Aleph. Over there, the Gemara is discussing the fact that there's a halacha that a poyel is allowed to quit in the middle of the day. Poyel yochel lachzer bo afilu b'chatzi hayoyim. And the Gemara explains over there that there's a difference between a schir yoyim and a kablin. A kablin is not allowed to quit in the middle of his work and not suffer any loss from it. And Rashi explains the difference between the two. Because the whole basis for the halacha that a poyel is allowed to quit in the middle of the day, he's yochel lachzer be'emtza yoyim, is because of a pasuk, avodayhem. Hashem says that Klal Yisrael are avodim to him, and they're not avodim la'avodim. Says Rashi, shiny lei bein schiris lekablonis. It's going to Mandiyam Reb Doisa, the Gemara is suggesting that he holds that there's a difference between schiris and kablonis. Rashi explains the gabi schiris isa lahai time of the avodahim. By schiris, that means a schir yoim. We do have the reason of avodahim, v'lo avodim la'avodim. Avo bekablonis, ein ze eved ela la'atzmoy. He's not an eved to his adoin, he's not an eved to his employer, he's an eved to himself. Nobody will tell you that his shoemaker is his employee. So where I'm his boss, I'm the one who's employing him, he's doing work for me, then he could quit in the middle of the day so that he should not be considered an evet to another member of Klal Yisrael. But where the relationship of the two is not one of a boss to an employee, there's no din of avodahim. So that is nekuda number one. You see that that's how Rashi defines the difference between a schir yoyim and a kablin. Number two, there's a sugya in Bava Kama, Dav Tzadik Tes, discussing the concept of uman koine b'shvach kli. If you give something to an uman, so there is one mandi yomer that until he gives it back to you, after he's mashbiach it, after he does the work, it becomes his, or at least the shvach becomes his, and therefore if he's mazik it, after he's mashbiach it, he doesn't have to pay for the hezik, because he was being mazik his own thing. It's a sugya over there in Bava Kama. Now, one of the hezberim, why an uman is koine b'shvach kli, is because he is the creator of that shvach. Since he created that shvach, anything that a person creates belongs to him. Now, in the sugya over there, it's mavur that there is a chilik between the type of uman which I give him the materials with which to be mashbiach, my chefetz, and a type of uman that provides the materials himself. If he provides the materials, then there is the concept of uman koine b'shvach kli. Mashenken, if I provide him with the materials, then we don't say uman koine b'shvach kli. Rashi over there explains that in the event that I gave him the materials, suppose I gave a uman some wool, and I gave him the dye with which to dye that wool. Says Rashi, you cannot say that uman is koine b'shvach kli, because over there, it's my samanim, it's my dye that's being mashpiachid, and the tzaba, the uman that does the dyeing, is a skir ba'almahu. All he is a hired hand. Because after all, we can't say that he is the one who created this shvach. I sent him as a shliach to do the pa'ula, to do the act. So when he's the one who provides the materials, then we say that he is the one that created the shvach, because he's not my shliach to do the act. He's my shliach to do the end result. But until he gives me back that end result, the act that he did was his own act. Masha'en Kain, when I'm the one who plans the whole thing and I give him the materials, so all he is my shliach to do the act. So this works very nicely with the hesber that we gave in our sugya, that in the event that the Yisrael is misayeh b'tevin, like in Marzutra's case, he gave the tevin for the workers to build the building with, you don't have the heter of kablin. Because the whole reason why you're allowed to be nene from the malacha that a guy who's a kablin does, is as we explained, he's not doing it b'shlichusi. He's not doing the work on my behalf on Shabbos. He's doing his own work. He's working for himself in order that he should be able to provide me with the end result. But if you give him the tevin, then like you see in Rashi, in Bava Kama Tzadik Tes, that he's considered like a schir ba'alma, since his role is not to provide the end result, rather to just take the materials I gave him and apply them the way that he tells me to. Now, if you understand this way, in this Teretz of the Gemara, then it's quite possible that the Isser to be nene from the Malacha is me'ikar adin. It's like if you had a regular schir yam doing the Malacha for you. It's not just a chumra ba'alma, like the lashon that we quoted from the Ritva, because it's been turned into a schir yoyim as opposed to a kablin. However, in the Magen Avraham, in Simen Reish Mem Dalet, Sifkot and Yud Aleph, it's mavur that the iser to be nene, to go into the building and to be nene from it, is not really aser mi'ikar adin, But not because when the Yisrael helps out, he's doing something usser and it assers the building. Rather, he understands that the fact that the Jew provides him with the materials doesn't turn the guy into a real schir yoim. He still is a kablin on a strictly halachic level. It's just that Kozman, the Jew, provides him with the materials, he looks like a schir yoim. And therefore, you can't have enough from it because of Maris Ayin. Anything that looks like a Schir Yom as opposed to a Kablin, people are going to learn from that that you're allowed to have a guy doing a Malacha even when he's a Schir Yom. Or if they're not going to learn from it, they're going to be Choshed, this particular Jew, that he's being Mishtamish with a Schir Yom on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So it comes out that we have essentially two ways to understand what does it mean that it was being Mesayeya Betivna. According to the Ritva, he was doing some sort of assistance himself in the building, and that's what assered the Apadna. And according to Rashi and the Meiri, the fact that he was being Mesayeya with the Tevin, he was providing materials, that changed things and made it from a Kablan to a Schir Yoim. And then, of course, we mentioned that even if you hold that it changes you into a Schir Yoim, it could be that that's not because it becomes a real Schir Yoim, rather because it looks like a Schir Yoim. When you provide the materials, it looks like he's working for you and not for himself. That's the way the Magen Avraham understands. The Gemara continues. Reb Chama shar lehu la'avungiri de'beresh galusa le'meved lehu avirita b'chol d'mayada. Reb Chama was mater the avungiri. Avungiri were the mesadri shulchanos, the people that used to set things up in the dining area of the Resh Galusa's house. And he was mater these people to do their work on chol d'mayad. And he explains his psak by saying that kiven da'agar lo'yko shakli, since they're not taking any monetary compensation, they're not getting paid, all they get from it is they're fed sudas. So they have benefits from what they do, but they're not getting actually paid, so there's no problem. Now, what exactly does this mean? Are we talking about someone gets mutter to do on Chol HaMoed, or someone gets usher to do on Chol HaMoed? So Rashi and the Rush understand a very important yesod over here, and this is actually Nifsik L'Halacha in Simen Tav Kuf Mem Beis Sif Aleph, that even melachas that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to do them for yourself or for others for free. But to do it for pay, it's usher. The Taz explains over there that to be mekabel schar on Chol HaMoed is considered like uvda d'chol. And in light of what we explained, and dafyud alef mebeis, this would make a lot of sense. Because we explained over there that the whole iser, according to the Shitza Rambam, in Meleches Chol HaMoed, is that you're not supposed to make the day into a yom chol. So therefore there could be certain melachas that, objectively speaking, they're not melachas that turn the day into a yom chol. But as soon as the person is being marviach, it feels like a non-yom tiftika day, because he's going to work on that day. The Ritva, however, understands that it's not necessarily usher to do acts that are mutar chol moed for pay. It's only usher to do those acts if there is somebody else available to do them for free. But if you can find nobody else to do these malachas, then it's mutter to do them even for pay. And it's possible that the reason behind this is that kol zman there's nobody else available, then it's considered letzoyrich yomtif. If somebody else is available, then you can't say that the act that I'm doing is strictly for the purposes of Yom Tov, because it could be that I'm doing it for the purposes of getting paid. V'araya, in order for Yom Tov to be taken care of, they can actually get somebody else to do it for free. But if you can't get somebody else to do it for free, then we look at it as if the act is something that's letzoyrich Yom Tov. What's actually interesting is that the Beis Yosef, it's even Tav Kuf Mem Aleph, brings down a kolboy who says that a hedyet, somebody who's not an uman, is allowed to sew for other people, not for himself, if it's letzoyrich moyed, even bischar, getting paid for it. And the Beis Yosef said it's a tois, because he says kol bischar is usser. The Bach actually explains that what the kolboy means is that we're talking about a person who doesn't have what to eat, and therefore when we say letzoyrich moyed, we mean that if he is marviach kesef, he'll be able to go and buy food. However, says the Karen Oira, since the Ritva says beferish, or what the Kolboy is saying, he doesn't understand why the Beis Yosef considers him a toya. You see that there is such a concept that as long as it's not available to get it done bechinam, you could do it beschar. The Gemara brings a brisa. Tanu Rabbanan ein marbien behema b'chol shel moed. So there's an iser to be marvia a behema, which means, like Rashi says, to be oiches benekeva and to be mevi aleha zachar. Now that's something which the Brisa says is aser both on chalamoyin and kiyotzeboy. It's aser to do that to a bechor and psulia mukdashim. This is because a bechor and psulia mukdashim have an iser avoida. You're not allowed to make them work. So we consider this malacha or avoida both legabe chalamoyin and legabe bechor psulim mukdashim. Now, from the juxtaposition of these two dinim, chalamoyin, and the din of not being marvia bechor and psulim mukdashim, it would be mashma that the din of a marvia bechor v'lo psulim mukdashim is only a din drabbanan. Let's say you hold that malachas chalamoyin is only a din drabbanan. So if Bechor and Psulim Mekdashim would be a din d'oraisa, it would be very strange for the Braisa to tell me a din d'rabbanan, you're not allowed to do on Chol Hamoed, ki yotzei boy, you're not allowed to do this on a d'oraisa level. Furthermore, even if the din of not doing melacha on Chol Hamoed is a d'oraisa, but that's only legabe avos melachos, or told us, things that are aser m'd'oraisa on Shabbos v'Yom Tov. There is no iser, there's no av melacha, there's no told of melacha to do harva on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it has to be a din d'rabbanan no matter what. And then the mashmos of the Braisa is that the din that you're not allowed to be marvia an animal, which is a bechor, psulim mukdashim, is only a din d'rabbanan. Another mashmos that it's only a din d'rabbanan is the fact that the Braisa says ein marvian. Now it's something that is an iser d'oraisa, the Braisa would say you get malchus. However, in the Gemara in Makis Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara brings a member of Rav Hoshia. Rav Hoshia says, "Amravia shor psulim mukdashim loikeshnayim." He gets malchus. Now, why does he get malchus? So Rashi explains that shor psulim mukdashim, after your poide, the shor, has a dual identity. He says it's a guf echad vasoya kosev shnei gufin, because it's both chulin and kodshim mixed together. Legabe certain things, it's considered kodshim. It's aser begizav avoida. You're not allowed to shear it and use the wool, and you're not allowed to do avoida with it. Legabe other things, there's no mi'ila, it is considered chulin. And since the animal is considered two things wrapped up in one, so by being marvia another animal on it, you're being over in iser kelayim. Rashi adds, says, "Lo shamati rayim inolan dechulin v'kodshim kelayim zebazeh." Why should the act of being marvia one on the other be considered kelayim? The Rambam actually in Perek Tes v'Hilchos Kelayim Halacha Yud Aleph explains this. He says that a behemah is psulim mukdashim, even though it's one guf. The Torah considered it kishnei gufin mipnei shahoisa kodesh, since it previously was kodesh. It's considered nasis kikodesh v'chol mu'uravim zebazeh. V'nimtzis behema zu ke behema t'meya im ha-tahoyra ha-mu'uravin ke-echad. The animal's dual identity is like a behema t'meya, a non-kosher animal, mixed together with a kosher animal. Where do we get that from? Says the Rambam, v'hareyu oimer v'im kol behema t'meya asher lo yakrivu mimenu karban la-Hashem. There's a pasuk that refers to an animal which is a behema t'meya, and he says, v'pi ha-shmua lamdu, there's a special Kabbalah that we have to darshin she'enei medaber elu b'psulim mukdashim. The pasuk that says v'im kol behema t'meya asher le'akrivim menu karban la'Hashem is referring to shor psulim mukdashim. So since the Torah referred to psulim mukdashim as a behema t'meya, there's going to be an iser kelayim. The Rabbeinu Tam over there in Makkos actually explains the reason why it's called kelayim is because this Torah says you could eat a katzvi v'cha'ayol. Those are two minim, and therefore there's kelayim based on that pasuk. So we essentially have two hesberim why it would be considered kelayim, answering Rashi's question. Al kopanim, we now understand the Gemara in Makkos that says that you get malchus, but we said from our Gemara, it's mashma, that it's only an issur d'rabbanan, and it doesn't say anything about malchus. Says the Mishnah Melech, over there in Hilchos Kelayim, and he also talks about this in Hilchos Me'ila, that you can't compare our sugya to the sugya in Makkos. The sugya in Makkos is talking about an issur d'oraisa, and our sugya is only talking about an issur d'rabbanan. How is that? Explains the Mishnah Melech. The fact that it's considered two minim is koidim pidyon, before you do pidyon. That is the animal that the Torah is referring to, according to the Rambam, when it refers to it as behemah t'meya. But la'achar pidyon, after your poide, the psulia mukdashim, it's considered one min, and it's not aser b'reviyah m'dairaisa. And the iser is not an iser of kelayim. Since it's considered one min, the iser is an iser of avoida. But since it's not real avoida, it's not aser m'dairaisa, it's only aser m'drabbanan, just like we say that it's aser to do the reviyah on chol hamoed. Now there's another difference between the two. If you'll notice that in the sugya over here, it says Ein marvin behema b'chilu shel moed, and Rashi says Ein marvin ein oichsin habehema umevin aleha zacher. So we're referring to holding the nekeva so that a zacher can go on it. Says the Mishnah Lemelech that since our sugya is talking about the iser avoida, the only time that it would be usher at Psulim Mekdashim is if the Psulim Mekdashim is the Nekeva, not if it's the Zachar. Because what we're referring to when we say it's usher ba'avoida, we mean that you're using it to be Moilid Vladis. So using the animal for my purposes is the Isra Avoida. And that's why is Medayik from the Lashon of the Gemara, Ein Marvin Bibachar V'loi Bipsulim Mekdashim. Which means you can't be Marvia the Zachar onto a Bechor Psulim Mekdashim. You'll ask, how could a Nekeva be a Bechor? A Bechor is only a Zachar. Says the Michas Chinuch, Mitzvah Tav Pei Gimel, that you could be Marviya a Zachar onto a Zachar. That's also considered an Isser of Harva. Now obviously the Michas Chinuch is not learning that the Isser Avoida is that you're going to be Moil of Vladis from it. He considers the usage of the Nekeva being independent of the Vladis that you may produce or you may not produce. Rather, using it for the needs of the Zachar is called Avoida. Now that's in the Sugya over here. In the Sugya Makis, Amr even for being Marvia the Zachar, you're like a Shnayim, because there it's the Zivug, it's the Isser Kalayim that we're talking about, not the Isser Avoida. So therefore it would make no difference if it's the Zachar or the Nekeva. So we have, according to the Mishnah Melech, two separate Isurim by Psulim Mekdashim, one being an Isser Deraisa, the other being an Isser Drabonon. The Isser Deraisa is before Pidyon, and that is the special Isser Kelaim that the Gemara Makkos refers to, and you get Malkus for that, because it's considered like two separate Minim. The reason, according to the Rambam, it's considered two separate Minim is because it's considered Behemoth Tmeya and Behemoth Ta'ira wrapped up in one, based on the Pasuk, Ve'im Kol Behemoth Tmeya. La'achar Pidyon, there is no longer an Isser Kelaim, and we have our Sugya, which then asers it, Midrabanan midin avoida. It's not complete avoida, so it's not aser deraisa, but it is aser midin avoida because you are using the animal, and this, says the Mishnah Melech, would only apply to the nekeva and not to the zachar. The Gemara tells us, Amra Abaye Naktinon Hilchas Moed ki Hilchas Shabbos. Hilchas Moed, Chol Moed, is like Hilchas Shabbos in the sense that Yeshmehen Potter Avol Aser V'Yeshmehen Mutil Chatchila. Just like in Hilchos Shabbos, aside from the category which you're chayev skila if you do it b'mezer and you're chayev chatas you do it b'shoigeg, there are two more categories. There's a category of potter aval aser, things that are not aser midaraisa, so you're not chayev skila. You're potter, but it's still aser midrabanan. And then there are certain things that are muter l'chatchila, even though they're doime, two things that you are aser to do. So too, in Chol Moed, you have these last two categories. There's some things that are aser, potter aval aser, v'yesh b'hem muter l'chatchila. So you see from the Gemara, you see from Abaye's Memra, that you're never chayiv for anything. You do not have the first category. Now, according to the Rishonim that we mentioned, in Daf Yud Aleph Mabez, like Toisfis in Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches, that hold that the Isser of Melacha and Chol Moed is only a Drabonon, then we understand perfectly why there's no Oynish. Drabonon, of course, is going to be Patar Vol Aser. The question is, though, according to Rashi, and the other Rishonim, who hold that the Isser Melacha on Chol Moed is the Oraisa, why is it that you don't get Malkus? So the Ritva and the Ran, B'Shem Yesh Mefarshim, both say that the reason why you don't get Malkus is because there's only an Isser Aseh. Malkus is only when you're over a lav. Because the drasha the Gemara and Chagiga brings down, Daf Yud Ches, is Eschag HaMatzis Tishmar, which is Mitzvah Aseh, not a lav. Says the Nemuke Yosef, how can this explain why you don't get Malkus? If anything, we know that there's a klal, which the Gemara mentions in many places, kol mokayim shenemar hishomer pen va'al. Anytime the Torah says either the word hishomer, or the word pen, or the word al, all of those have the connotation of a mitzvah loisase. And since it says eschag hamatzis tishmar, so why wouldn't you get Malkus? It's a lashon hishomer. Therefore, it says the Nemuki Yosef, the real reason why you don't get Malkus is not because it's an isra say, it's a lav, but it's what we call a lav shebichlolus. Anytime the Torah gives you a lav, which is koilo many things, you do not get malchus. As is mavur in the Gemara in Psachim, daf chafdal and amadalf. What makes it a lav shebichlolus? Because even though eschag hamatzis tishmor includes the iser of doing melacha and chol moed as well, but it also includes the other mitzvahs of Pesach. Eschag hamatzis tishmor means that you have to make sure not to eat chametz on Pesach. Also that you're not allowed to do Malach on the Yom Tov of Pesach, not just Chol Moed. Now, what do the Ritva and the Ran do with the taina of the Ruki Yosef, that every time that it says a lashon of Yishamer, it's Mrs. Lysase. So how could they say that the reason why you don't get Malkus is because it's a Mrs. Asay? So it is possible that our Gemara paskins like one mandiyamar in the Gemara Menachos. In the Gemara Menachos, daf lamed vav mebeis, it's discussing wearing tefillin dafka in the daytime, because the pasuk says v'shamarta es achuka hazoyis lamoyada miyamim yamima. So you see from the pasuk that mitzvah tefillin is only during the day. Therefore, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol haminiach tefillin achar shkiyas hachama over ba'asei. He's being over in mitzvah asei because he's putting it on after shkiyah. It's no longer yamim yamima. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar over b'lav. He's over in a lav because it says the lashon v'shamarta, and we know that the lashon hishamer is a lois asei. So you see from that Gemara that there's no difference if you use lashon hishamer v'shamarta. Anytime the Torah tells you to be careful about something, it has the connotation of a lois asei. So first the Gemara wants to say that Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yochanan are gufa arguing on the klal of Rebbe Avraham Rebbe Elah that kol makom shenemar yishamer pen va'al einoi ela lois asei. Rebbe Elazar, who holds the only over ba'asei, argues in the klal, and Rebbe Yochanan agrees to the klal. Then the Gemara says, no, everybody agrees to the klal, that if it says yishamer or pen or al, it's mitzvah lois asei. V'hacha b'hacha miflegider machlekes is marsaver he shamer de lav the shamer de asay. Rashi explains Rebbe Elazar, who says you're only over an asay over here, holds that he shamer de chsib b'milsa de mazer achmona loy tase have a lav gomer lilkos. Whenever the Torah tells you to be careful about something, and the mashmos of the pasuk is be careful not to do a certain thing, then the Torah is essentially telling you a loy asay. The examples Rashi gives are cases in which the Torah tells you don't do a particular thing, like Yishamer lecha pen tichreis bris liyoshiva aretz. You're not allowed to do a bris with the Shiva Amamin. And the Torah says it in a lashon of Yishamer. Be careful not to do the bris. So even though it doesn't say do not make a bris with them, but by saying be careful from making a bris means refrain from making a bris with them. The other example Rashi brings is Yishamer b'neged tzaras, which means don't cut off a neged tzaras that you have on your skin. So by saying be careful, what we mean to say is refrain from doing it. Masha'en came by tefillin. What the Torah is, when it says v'shamarta es achuka hazoyis, it's not telling you to refrain from doing something. It's telling you to do something positive, to put on the tefillin. So at least according to Shittus Rebbe Elazar, we have two categories. When the Torah tells me hishamer, be careful and watch yourself from doing a certain act, that is a lois asei. The Torah is essentially telling me to refrain from doing that act. When the Torah tells me be careful and do a certain act, the Torah is just telling me take extra care in making sure that you do that act. The first is a lois asei, the second is an asei. So wait a minute. Which one of the two categories does Eschag HaMatzis Tishmer belong to? It would seem that the Nemuki Yosef still has a question, because even after we find the distinction in the Gemara Menachos, we would still sooner identify Eschag HaMatzis Tishmer with Hishamer DeLav, not Hishamer DeAseh. Because the point of the mitzvah Tishmer is be careful not to do Malacha. So that's more similar to the case of Hishamer Lecha Pen Tichreis Bris LiYoshiva Aretz or Hishamer B'negat Tzaras. However, we can answer very simply based on the Hesber that we gave in the Shita Sarambam on Daf Yud Aleph Mabez. Just as we mentioned earlier, that even the Shitas that hold that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to refrain from doing Malacha and Chol HaMoed, from the Rambam you see that that mitzvah is unlike the mitzvah not to do Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The mitzvah not to do Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov is an intrinsic mitzvah. You're not allowed to do Malacha. There's something negative about the Asiyas Malacha. So if the Torah were to use the word Hishamer Ligabe, the Isser of doing Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that would certainly constitute a lav, because the point of the Torah is that this act is evil. There's something wrong with the act, and therefore we want you to refrain from doing this act. However, as we explained, according to the Rambam, there is no Isser intrinsically with doing the act. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing negative about the actual Asiyas Malacha per se. The problem is, you're just changing the day into a day that's like a Yom Chol. Or, according to the Karen Oyer's Hesber, the problem is that you're lacking in your Simchas Yom Tov. And therefore, even if the Torah used the word Hishamer, that is not called Hishamer DeLav. Because when there's nothing negative about the act itself, then really what the Torah is doing is it's being mitzavayu in a mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh is to preserve the sanctity of the day, or to have the hanhagas simcha of the day. The Torah wants something positive. It wants a certain spirit of the day. And even if the way that you preserve the sanctity of the day is by refraining from doing certain acts, so it's a passive way of being mekayim the mitzvah saseh, that just means that it's a positive mitzvah that you're mekayim through inaction. So when you violate that mitzvah and you do a malacha, you're not being over a lav, you're not now going and doing something wrong by the act itself. What you're doing is you're being mevatel your mitzvahs asay to make sure that the day is a yom kodesh. Or like the Karen Ari, you're being mevatel your mitzvahs asay of simchas yom tif. So the Namuki Yosef, who asked that this is called a lav, and he answered the reason why you don't get malchus is because it's a lav shebuchlolus, he obviously doesn't agree to the Rambam. He obviously holds that the geder of the Isser Malacha and Chol HaMoed is an intrinsic Isser. There's something negative about the act of doing Malacha. But the other Rishonim, we can explain that that's how they understood. They understood that it's nothing intrinsically wrong with the act itself. It's only a Hechatimtza to change the day or to change my Simchas Yom Tov. And therefore, you don't get Malkus because it's considered a Hishamer de Asay. The Gemara tells us, Rav Huna Chatzdu Lei Chatzda B'moyeda. Rav Huna had poyalim, he had workers who did a ktsira, they harvested his crop on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna asked a question from the Braisa. In the Braisa it's mavur, that when you don't have what to eat, then you could do ktsira. But if you have what to eat, then even if it's a davar ha'ovid, you're not allowed to do ktsira, because although we allow malachas to be done on Chol HaMoed when it's a davar ha'ovid, that's only if it is tlushin, if it's not attached to the ground. Something gets attached to the ground, even if it's kulay ovid, you're not allowed to do malacha. That's what it says in the Braisa. And therefore, Rabbi Rav Huna is asking him, how are you allowed to have poyalim do the malacha for you? He's obviously assuming that Rav Huna's heter was because it was a davar ha'ovid. And Rav Huna answered him, I don't agree to this Braisa. He thinks it's a das yachid, as is mavur in the Braisa that he brings down, that this is the sheet of Rishim Gamliel Mishum Rav Yosi. Now the Yerushalmi over here in Halacha Beis asks, how exactly did the story happen? If it was already possible to do Ktsira before Yom Tov began, and he waited until Chol HaMoed to do that Ktsira, then it's usher no matter what, because we know that Mechavin Melachtoi La'asoyse B'moyed is usher. Meaning if you bedafka, push it off until Chol HaMoed and then do the Malacha, you're not allowed to. And if you'll tell me, says the Yerushalmi, that it was not yet the Zman HaKatzer for this Tfuah before Yom Tov, meaning that it wasn't ripe prior to Yom Tov's beginning, then it's pretty difficult to imagine that in these few days that you'll wait to do the Ktsira, that it's already going to become Nevad. Why is it called a Davra Ovid? So therefore, the Rishami is asking him, Manavshach. If it was available before Yom Tov, then that's called Mechav Melachti, then it's Aser. And if it was not available until Yom Tov, then it should be not a davar ovid. So the Yerushalmi answers that we're talking about a case where it was Higia, the Zman HaKatzer, prior to Yom Tov. But Rav Huna made a mistake. He thought that he'll be able to wait to do the Ktsira until after Yom Tov. But in the middle of Yom Tov, he realized that if he doesn't do the Ktsira now, then it's going to be Nifsat, so it's a davar ovid. So that is an important yisoy. That we don't consider like a pshia. If the person made a mistake and thought that it was going to be okay to leave it over and only realize during Yom Tov that it's davar ha'avid, then it's mutter from do the malacha. However, the Ritva understands that in Mitzias it's possible to have something that prior to Yom Tov it wasn't possible to do the ktsira, and it's delicate enough that you wait a few days and already will be a davar ha'avid. The Meiri actually understands that if you leave it for those few days, the wind will come and blow off a lot of the tefuah. Now the Gemara brings down a similar story about Rav. Rav chatzli chatzta b'chayil d'moyeda. He had poyalim du ktsira for him on Chol HaMoed. And Shmuel heard about it and ikbit, he was makbit. He was upset at Rav for doing that. The Gemara wants to say, lema Shmuel ki chidos firle. Let us say that Shmuel holds like that braisa that we mentioned earlier, that holds that kol zman, that it's mechuber, you're not allowed to do malachi, even if it's going to be nifsad. Says the Gemara loy, chatzah dechiti hava, it was actually ktsir chitim, loy hava pasid, it would not have become nifsad. So it's not a davra oven, and that's why Shmuel was makbid. Says the Gemara, okay, so if it's not a davra oven, if Rav my time of avarachis, then why did Rav allow the workers to do the work for him? Answers the Gemara, ein loy ma yoichel hava, he didn't have what to eat. And as the Braisa itself said, that if a person doesn't have what to eat, then you're allowed to do a malacha even if it's not a davar ha'avid. So why then was Shmuel makbid? Why was he upset? The Gemara says, Shmuel lo samua kamei. When they told him the story, they didn't tell him all the details. They didn't inform him that Rav was lo hayo lo malechel. Inami, says the Gemara, Adam Chashev Shiny. Shmuel held that since Rav was an Adam Chashev, he should behave differently. And although he has the right to be Samech on the Kula of doing Malacha, or to have a Poel doing Malacha for him, but he should have been more Nizer, he should have gone Lefnim Mishur Sadin. So we see from the Gemara that the reason why Rav did it was because he was loy hayom loy malechol. The reason why Shmuel got upset at him was because Shmuel wasn't aware of that fact. Now the Ritva over here says as follows. He says, Ushmuel loy samua kame. They didn't tell Shmuel that Rav was loy hayom loy malechol. The Kasavar says the Ritva, the im is shum shein loy mal yoichal. If it's because he doesn't have what to eat, loy havle le michzit kulei hai, the havle le mevad betzimtzum. Even if Rav was somebody who didn't have what to eat, meaning that Shmuel, although they didn't tell him this information, he should have imagined himself that it's possible that Rav doesn't have what to eat. That's what's bothering the Ritva. So the Ritva says, if that's the reason why Rav's doing the Ktsira, or why he's having a worker do the Ktsira for him on Chol HaMoed, then he shouldn't do that much Ktsira. He doesn't have to do so much Ktsira, he just have to be Koitzer enough for him to have what to eat on Yom Tov. And since Rav was more liberal with how much he was Koitzer, Shmuel concluded that it must be that he has what to eat, and that's why he was Ikpid, that's why he got upset at him. So you see from here that Rav obviously held that even when you don't have what to eat, you don't have to be koitzer betzimtzum. You don't have to limit the ktsira to the amount that you need to live. Rather, as long as you have the heter, you're allowed to be koitzer barvochi. You're allowed to be koitzer in large quantities. Now, of course, you could ask him that if that's true, then why do we have to say that Shmuel got angry because lo seimua kaimei? He didn't know the metzias. He wasn't aware of the fact that Rav was loy hayo loy malecho. The Gemara could have said much simpler. Shmuel knew that Rav was loy hayo loy malecho, but he got angry because Rav shouldn't have been koitzer that much. So you have to say, and this is what Rabbi Yashiv says in his Aris on Moed Katan, that that wouldn't be a reason for Shmuel to get angry. In other words, if Shmuel was fully aware of the metzias, that Rav didn't have what to eat. And it's just that Rav argues on Shmuel, and Rav holds that you're allowed to harvest in large quantities. And Shmuel disagrees with him and holds that you're not allowed to harvest large quantities. You have to limit it to the amount that you need for Yom Tov. Then he shouldn't get angry at him because Rav is entitled to his opinion. Rav could argue on him and din. That's why the Gemara has to say that lo seimua kameh, he wasn't aware of the metzias. He didn't know that Rav was lo hayo loy malechol. And explains the Rav Yashiv that it wasn't even ola b'daita. He didn't even have a hava minah that Rav argues le'inyan this idea of harvesting b'tzimtzum. He thought that everybody agrees that you're not allowed to harvest more than what you need for Yom Tov. So if Rav was harvesting a lot, it must be that it wasn't because it's ein le'malechol, he has what to eat, and that's why Shmuel was hikpit, because he saw absolutely no reason why Rav should allow his workers to do the malacha on Yom Tov. On Kopanim, it comes out that we have a machlokes, according to the Ritva, between Rav and Shmuel. When a person doesn't have what to eat, does he have to limit the harvest to tzimtzum, to what he needs in order to eat on that Yom Tov? Or would he be now allowed to harvest however much he wants? Now, since the klal is that we paskin like Rav v'isuri, whenever something's nege, iser v'heter, so halacha is like Rav, by dinim amenis, we paskin like Shmuel, but by isuri, we paskin like Rav. So it would seem that you're allowed to harvest if a person is in this situation where he's ein lo malechol, he's allowed to be koitzer b'harvacha. He's allowed to harvest much more than what he needs in order to eat this Yom Tov. Now, the Rambam doesn't say this. The Rambam, in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Yom Tov, Halacha Vav, says, Mishayis lo tfua mechuberes lekarka, ve'ein lo mayoichol b'moed elo mimena. Even though there's no hefzid, etc., the Rambam says he's allowed to be koitzer mashu tzorich. So you see that the Rambam holds that you're limited to the amount that you need. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this Ladina. So it would seem that the Rambam holds not like the Ritva, who says that the story of Rav was Baharvach, that he made extra, he was Koitzer extra Tvua. However, says the Rabbi Yashiv, you don't have to learn that the Rambam is arguing on the Ritva. It could be that the Rambam learns like the Ritva, that according to the first Teretz in the Gemara, that says Shmuel Leisemua Kaimei, it was because he didn't do a betzimtzum. And according to that teretz, it actually is true that Rav did more than betzimtzum. He did it bar vacha. However, according to the second teretz of the Gemara says, Inami Adam Chashev Shiny. That the reason why Shmuel got angry at him was because he was an Adam Chashev. And according to that teretz, we could learn very simply that Rav really did betzimtzum. He didn't do bar vacha. The amount of tevuah that he had harvested for him on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, was just exactly the amount that he needed in order to eat. And there's no machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, according to this teretz. The reason why Shmuel got angry at him is because he held that an Adam Chashev has to behave differently. The Mishnah tells us, V'chulanim kivnu malachton d'moyed yevedu. Even cases that you're allowed to do malacha, like if it's davra avid, but if the person was mechavin malachtoi, he left it bedafka until chol moed yevedu, he loses the things that malacha was done with. Now, this is a knas, of course. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Simtav Kuf Lamed Ches, and this is also the mashmos of Rashi in our sugya, is that the knas involves two things. Number one, if the person did not yet do the malacha, Bezdin does not allow him to do the malacha, even though it's a davra avid, and yevedu means that he'll lose the thing because it's a davra avid. But the second thing is that if the person actually did malacha, then we're ma'abed the thing from him, and it becomes mufker lakoil. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Chaf that this isn't a hefker that happens automatically. It's not like it's a hefker memela. Rather, you need Bezdin to go and be mafker it. But Kozman Bezdin hasn't been mafker the thing that the person did the malacha with, it is not hefker. And he's medayik this from the Lashon of the Mechaber. Because the Mechaber says, a mechaven malachti v'nicha l'moyed v'asa b'moyed Bezdin ma'abdin oisa mimenu u'mafkirin oisa lakoil. So that Lashon is very much mashma, that you need Bezdin to actively go and be mafkirit. However, in the Sharatzion, in Sivkot and Zion, he brings down the Murek Tzia, who says the opposite. He says, "Im avar va'asa u'meis shuv ein l'b'noi z'chus bahen, de memela kvar nase hefker." Take a look also in the Hagoyis or Kiveh Eger in the Shulchan Aruch.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.